And I hope and pray that my lesson to you this morning is also a blessing to you. Because I don't think that we know just how much we have been blessed. There are more scripture dealing with hell and punishment than there are dealing with heaven and reward. There's a reason for that. The reason is we understand pain. We understand suffering. We understand those things right here on this earth because we are experiencing those things. But one of the things that we don't understand is we don't understand pure joy. We can't. Because there's nothing here on this earth that is pure joy. Now we get glimpses of that. We get glimpses of that. For example, last Friday night. If you haven't heard already, I'm sure you probably have because my wife posted it everywhere in the entire world. We went bowling with my wife's job, her other employees there. We went bowling, and my son, who has just had hip replacement surgery, decided he was going to bowl. Now, I want you to know I have not bowled in 12 years, so that is my excuse. I have not bowled in 12 years. And my son set his cane down, picked up a ball, and walked like this up to the line and bowled. And he beat us all. Yeah. My wife got a big kick out of that. I did not get such a kick out of that. But my wife thought it was funny. He beat us all. And I sit there and I go, okay, let's bowl again. And Chef goes, no, I better not. I'm hurting. I better not bowl anymore. So now I have to live with the fact that my crippled son beat his dad in bowling. Now that's not good, okay? But I do want you to know that my wife and my son got a real glimpse of joy that day when they saw the response of the father who did not have any joy. If y'all know me, I'm extremely competitive. That did not work well. Yeah, I can't imagine that, yeah. But I tell you this because I don't really believe that any of us know all the blessings that we have received.
Amen.
I don't think you can know. Now, I do think, honestly, that when we see Jesus Christ for the first time, then we will know. Because Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He says, then we shall know even as we are known. So all those secrets out there, all those things out there, we're going to know. But folks, we don't realize probably the biggest factor. We don't realize what heaven is going to be like. We have glimpses of it. But there is going to be so much joy, so much pleasure, so much love in heaven that it is worth anything that you're going through today. It is far greater than anything you can possibly imagine. When you see your loved ones that have gone on before you and you see them there in paradise, what kind of joy are you going to have? What a great thought that is. Now I want to start this morning in 1 Peter, and we're going to be looking at 1 Peter quite a bit today, chapter 4. But I want to start this morning in 1 Peter. And it says this in verse 1. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh. Now I want you to think about that for 1 second. We spoke about that this morning. PJ did a great job this morning. Spoke about that this morning about how Christ suffered. We sang songs. Manny did a great job on that. We sang songs about what Jesus did for us. But do you really think about it? Do you really consider the pain that he went through? The suffering within his life that he overcame? The trials, the tribulation, the temptation that he had. Because realize that Jesus could have stopped his suffering at any point, at any time. Because he had the power to call down 12 legions of angels and stop it. But he didn't. And the reason why he didn't is twofold. Number one, he came here to do God's will, not his will. But number two, which is far more important for us today, is that he died for us.
Amen.
For you. For me. He died for us. So it says, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, Peter tells us to arm ourselves also with the same purpose. Because the one who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh. In other words, to live the rest of the time of your life on this earth. We no longer live for human lusts, but for the will of God. That is our purpose here on this earth. To serve God and Him only.
Amen.
Now I want to point out just a couple of things here that God has given to us. And these are very important things, and I want you to take note of these things. First is patience. You realize how patient God has been with you? Some more than others. Some not as much as others. But I can tell you right now that God has been overly patient with me. To the point of, and Randy's understanding this, to the point of God has suffered, long suffered, patience with me, far greater than you can ever imagine. And it's the same thing with you. God has had great patience with us. He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. That's God. Secondly, I wanted to point out, do you realize how much you have been forgiven? I don't think we do. But I can tell you this, that back years ago I was studying the book of Romans in a class with a guy by the name of Jimmy Allen at Harding University, who is, or was, he's passed away now, but who was considered to be the leading expert in the world on the book of Romans. Pretty incredible. I got to study under the head guy. But what's interesting was, he brought up one verse. One verse that changed my entire outlook. And that verse was Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what that did for me personally? That made me change my opinion about sin. That made me change my definition of sin. Because that verse says that all have sinned and done what? Come short. Folks, if you come short of the glory of God, then guess what? You fall under sin. Do you understand that? This is something that changed my whole outlook. I was thinking the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. I haven't done any of those things. But think about it for 1 second. How many times do you fall short of the glory of God? How many times do you have the opportunity to do something for God and you don't do it? Well, then guess what? You just fell short. But you know what? We've been forgiven of that too. And so I can look at that right there and I can say, I have received great forgiveness. So much so that I cannot, under any circumstance, I cannot point my finger at you and condemn you for what you've done, because God has forgiven me of all the things that I've done.
Amen.
And if God can forgive me, then guess what? God can and will forgive you.
Amen.
Thirdly, God has given us a home in heaven. This is something right there that I'm telling you, we don't comprehend how great that is going to be. Paul spoke about it in terms that we should all understand. He saw it, he witnessed it, he realized what was there waiting for him, and he says, I wish I could go right now. But he knew that he had a job to do here. And so because of that, he stayed. But realize, Paul knew what was waiting for him. And he said, I have run the race. I have fought the good fight. I have a home waiting for me in heaven. And folks, we have that home waiting for us in heaven. That is a blessing that you can only small imagine the greatness of it. A small part. How wonderful it's going to be. Those of you that have been baptized lately, I say lately, those of you that have been baptized in the last few years, when you came up out of that water, how did you feel? How wonderful. Why? Because you've got a home in heaven. That's why. Now I want to take a look at a couple of things real fast. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Tells us something. Basically, it's because God has been patient with you. Therefore, what you need to do is to be patient with others. This is important. What God has given to you, give back to other people. Be just as patient as God was patient with you. Be just as patient with others as God is patient with you. And I have learned, as I get older, I get less patient.
Patience,
that was my wife. Those of you that don't know, Yeah. As you get older, sometimes you lose a little patience. Folks, guess what? It should be the other way around. As you get older and understand more and more and more how patient God has been with you, then you should be more and more and more patient with other people. Be patient with one another just as God has been patient with you. Second, look at this one in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. This one's important. Have you been forgiven? I guarantee you I have. Then why aren't you forgiving others the way that God has forgiven you? Why are you so condemning of others when God was not condemning to you? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, it tells us very plainly that if you do not forgive others, then you will what? Not be forgiven. Now that's tough. Because we are to be as forgiving of others as God has been with you. God forgave you. Forgive other people. Just the same way. And realize that there are people out there that are going to irritate you. There are people out there that are going to test your patience. There are people out there in this world that you really don't like very much. Hey, God loves all people. You should do the same. Forgiving one another just as you have been forgiven. Look at the third one I've got up here in 1 Peter chapter 4. Be sound in your judgment and be sober in your spirit. Now this is an interesting statement, because what this statement means is this: judge the situation as Jesus himself would judge the situation. Remember the woman that was brought to Jesus that was caught red-handed in adultery? What did Jesus do? Yeah, he got on his hands and knees and started writing in the dirt. Now, we don't know what he wrote. The scripture doesn't tell us. And there has been a lot of people that said, oh, he wrote this or wrote that or wrote this. I'm going to tell you that all that is speculation. We don't know. But this is what we do know. As Jesus was riding in the dirt, they pressed him to ask him, what should we do with this woman? Because when this woman was caught in adultery, what did the Jewish law say to do with her? Stone her to death. That's what Jewish law said. And they were going to see just exactly if Jesus was going to put her to death as well. But Jesus didn't do that, did he? He stood up and looked at them and he said to them, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And then the scripture goes on to say, from the oldest down to the youngest. And I always find that interesting, because it shows the oldest realized how much they had sinned. And it wasn't until they got down to the youngest that the youngest start thinking, well, I have to. But the oldest left first. They were wiser. And then Jesus looked up, saw all of the accusers gone, And he said to the woman, "Where are your accusers?" And she said, "I don't know." And he responded to her, "Then I accuse you neither. Go and do what?
Sin no more."
Now, we don't know what happened to that woman after that, but I would assume, and this is just my assumption, that she probably did exactly what Jesus said. But Jesus judged her with righteousness. Just like we today should judge one another with righteousness and forgiveness. We should not condemn one another, but rather bring them to Christ.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 tells us something that we need to make sure that we do. What's the golden rule? Love one another as what? As yourself. That is the golden rule. That's one of the things that are do unto other as you should have them do unto you. Not do unto others as or before you do unto them or something like that. Now, make sure that you love one another as God has loved you and was willing to send His only Son to die for you. If God was willing to die for you through His only Son, then we too should be willing to love one another in the same way that He loved us. Folks, we're going to have differences of opinion. Okay? We're going to have differences in thoughts, okay? But let's stand firm together with this one thing in mind. Love one another as God has loved you. 1 Peter 4:9 says this, "Be hospitable to one another." In Hebrews, it tells us, do not be afraid to be hospitable to strangers, because we entertain angels unaware. We entertain angels unaware. Folks, if you knew an angel came to your door and you knew that person was an angel, would you act differently? You shouldn't. You should always be hospitable to one another. I used to take my teachers and I would tell them oftentimes that the only positive word that some of these students hear are words from you. And I used to stand out in the parking lot when I was a principal. And I'd stand out in the parking lot and people would ask me, "Well, why do you stand out in the parking lot? Rain, snow, sleet, cold, hot." They said, "Why do you stand out in the parking lot?" And I always would say, "Because I want to be the first person that they see. Because I want to give them a good, positive encouragement for the day." And then I also would stand out in the parking lot as they left. And they'd ask, "Why would you stand out in the parking lot when they left?" And it's because I want them to see me last. And I would always ask, "How was your day?" And some of them would go, "Ugh." But I would respond oftentimes and I say, "My day was great because I saw you." Positive words. Being hospitable to one another
caring for one another. When you came in this door today, did someone greet you? Was somebody hospitable to you? If they weren't, let me know, because I will be hospitable to you right now. I was told the other day that this is one of the friendliest churches they've ever been to. Good! Hey, I don't want to be one of. I want to be the most. We need to focus on that. Look at this one also in 4:10, 1 Peter. Whatever gift God has given you, use it to help someone along their way. Every one of us have a gift. Every one of us have been given a gift. Use what God has given to you to help someone along the way. I've told you before, don't call me and ask me to fix your car. It would be a huge mistake. And then you would really have to take it to somebody that knew what they were doing to fix what I screwed up. But folks, there's other things I can do to help you. Use whatever gift God has given you to help one another along the way. God gave us the greatest gift of all. His Son, Jesus Christ. Remember that always. And notice this in 4:11. God gave us the plan of salvation. God gave us the direction. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through Him. God has given us that plan to hear, confess, repent, be baptized, and live your life for Christ. The plan is there. The plan is in the Word. Speak that Word to others, because that Word is salvation. That Word is life eternal. That Word is heaven above. Speak that Word to others that they may hear it and respond to it and have the salvation that God intends for all of us. Speak the Word of God. As we close, 1 Peter 4, verse 11 says this: do these things because God has given you these things. Do these things so that in all things God may be glorified through His Son, Jesus Christ. Always glorifying God in everything that you do. Never hesitate to give God the glory. God has given you these wonderful gifts, and some of them you know, but some of them you have not yet comprehended. But we will comprehend them when we see Jesus for the first time, face to face. And He says to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. If you have a need this morning, a need for baptism, or a need for our prayers, we want to give you the opportunity to come. So come forward now while together we stand and sing.